This President's Day weekend, South Carolina will be the focus of Republicans wanting to become president. South Carolina's GOP primary is just 8 days away. The Democrats vote the following week. WFAE's Tom Bullock has this preview of what you can expect to see as the first in the South primary nears. Spoiler alert, if history is any guide, dirty politics may play a part.
Normally, when the Republican presidential campaigns head to the warmer weather of South Carolina, a lot of the race has been sorted. Not this year.
Cruz has a win. Trump has a win. Others are still searching for a win if they're going to remain viable.
That's Adolphus Belk, a political scientist at Winthrop University. Getting a win here can be tricky. Belk notes that while South Carolina is home to a sizable block of evangelical Republican voters, there are also
folks that are big on national security, terrorism, that sort of thing. And then you have the folks that might be more moderate on certain social issues, but are fiscally conservative. And so when you think about all the types of people, from the staunch social conservatives to the moderate-minded fiscal conservatives and everyone in between, they're all here.
And the political game in South Carolina is a whole lot different than New Hampshire or Iowa, says South Carolina Republican Party Chairman Matt Moore.
It's not the kind of state where you can go to every neighborhood and put stickers and palm cards on every door. You need a better strategy than that.
First, take the sheer size of the electorate. People in Iowa and New Hampshire have collectively cast just over 470,000 votes for Republican presidential candidates this year. In South Carolina, Moore says,
we expect upwards of 650,000 people to vote just in the Republican primary.
All these voters representing different factions in the Republican Party mean a winning candidate must build a coalition, says political scientist Scott Huffman.
There's no single constituency, which is why you need to kick the legs out from under as many of your opponents as you can.
Adolphus Belk agrees.
Yeah, there's a lot riding here. And when the stakes are high and people are desperate, things can get nasty.
For current South Carolina frontrunners Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, the attacks so far have been found in ads.
What kind of man talks from both sides of his mouth on amnesty for illegals on national television and still denies it?
Like this Trump spot, which aired for a few days in South Carolina.
Who runs a campaign accused of dirty tricks that tried to sabotage Ben Carson with false rumors? Ted Cruz.
The ad was pulled by the Trump campaign late yesterday.
Look, I got the Trump action figure.
No, wait, it's huge.
What does he do?
Cruz's campaign has their own ad on YouTube. It involves kids playing Donald Trump.
I gave money to Pelosi, Reid, and Anthony Weiner.
Hey, Hillary, I'll give you money to be my friend.
But all this may just be child's play, says Huffman.
This is where Lee Atwater was from. And Lee Atwater is the godfather of modern dirty politics.
Atwater was the brains behind the Willie Horton ad many believe won the first President Bush the White House. But that, says Huffman, was comparatively tame. Take Atwater's 1980 attack on a South Carolina candidate named Tom Turnipseed.
It came out that he had had shock therapy as a teenager for depression. He came out and made a quip about candidates being hooked up to jumper cables. And a lot of political consultants in South Carolina view him as a hero.
And they added to his playbook. Back in 2000, there were attacks on John McCain.
There were flyers slipped under, you know, windshield wipers at McCain events saying, did you know John McCain had a black baby?
And a black mistress. For the record, John McCain has an adopted daughter from Bangladesh. There were also rumors being spread that McCain was some kind of Manchurian candidate.
Whisper campaigns about how you couldn't trust John McCain because he had been a POW and might have been brainwashed.
Then in 2007, a bogus Christmas card was sent to South Carolina Republicans. It included a line stating, "We have now clearly shown that God the Father had a plurality of wives." It was signed the Romney family. And in 2012, there was the website phonyfred.org.
Which was essentially just a hit piece, a website that existed for no other reason than to attack Fred Thompson. And it ended up being tied to consultants related to Mitt Romney's campaign.
And the consultant, the Washington Post, tied to the Phony Fred website, now works on behalf of candidate Marco Rubio. He will be fighting it out with John Kasich and Jeb Bush.
Experience tells us that Rubio campaign operatives pride themselves on a bag of dirty tricks.
Jim Dyke is a senior advisor for the Bush campaign.
They have a long history of engaging in these types of tactics, and so obviously we're on the lookout for them.
When asked to comment on those claims, Rubio spokesman Joe Pounder issued a statement which reads in part, "We are not surprised that Jeb Bush would resort to saying anything to try to deflect from his own flailing campaign." The Rubio campaign itself has been targeted. Right to Rise USA, a super PAC backing Jeb Bush, posted this ad this week.
The headline is, "What happened to Senator Marco Rubio?"
It features a toy robot and Rubio's repetition of talking points during the last Republican debate.
I have to go to my robotic talking points.
I think it damaged him.
Whether they come as ads, phone calls, rumors, whatever, history shows us that things get personal and nasty in South Carolina. Adding to the fever here is this. South Carolina is the first primary where the winner goes home with all the delegates, making even the smallest margin of victory that much more important. For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock.